WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says last-minute dispute with Hamas is keeping his government from approving the new Middle East ceasefire agreement that was agreed upon on Wednesday. The American Cancer Society says fewer Americans are dying of cancer.
We see a 34% decrease in cancer mortality since the high water mark of 1991. That's over 4.5 million cancer deaths averted, largely due to decreased smoking, reduced tobacco use, early detection, and also some new drugs. You know, we see much better outcomes in melanoma and some kind of lung cancers.
American Cancer Society Chief Scientific Officer Dr. William Dehut says that is encouraging. However, its annual report shows that more women under the age of 65 are being diagnosed with cancer now than in the past. Time's running out for TikTok. The app's Chinese-based owner had until Sunday to sell it and its algorithm, but it did not. That means it could go dark as of Sunday. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new outreach campaign to highlight the risk of menthol tobacco products. According to a press release, DHS officials say about 9,300 people under 18 in Wisconsin will try cigarettes for the first time each year, half of whom will start with menthol cigarettes. Officials are also warning about targeted marketing of the products in communities of color, leading to higher rates of smoking prevalence. The DHS is running a digital marketing campaign to expand public awareness. Wisconsin's frozen road law will be in place for all highways in the state beginning Thursday. According to the Department of Transportation, the frozen road law allows trucks to carry heavier loads for things like logs, salt, and sand during the winter months. The law was already in place in the northern portion of the state, but DOT officials monitor road conditions in the southern regions to ensure the roads are frozen enough to handle the increased weights. The DOT website also features an interactive map covering seasonal weight restrictions. The city of Rice Lake is looking to ensure residents and business owners are clearing their share of snow on their properties as they shirk those duties more consistently. According to city officials, some residents and businesses have been neglecting their sidewalks for too long. To protect pedestrians from slipping and falling, city workers have been forced to pick up some of that slack. The Rice Lake Police Department will now begin issuing citations for failure to remove snow and ice, with fines starting at $114. Two conservation wardens in Sawyer County have been recognized by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for saving lives. According to a press release from the DNR, Nick Almograbi and Tom Heisler were selected to receive life-saving awards by the agency. Almograbi was honored for using an AED and instructing another person on performing chest compressions, saving a 47-year-old patient in June. Heisler was honored for finding a man near the Flambeau River who had flipped his canoe and was stranded for days in May of 2023. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Magic again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with another win over the Orlando Magic, 122-93 at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks moving up to fourth place in the Eastern Conference, surpassing Orlando. They're coached by Jamal Mosley, born in Milwaukee, later got his start in the NBA with the Bucks under George Karl. How important is a win over a team they could face in the playoffs? Brook Lopez.
It's obviously very important. You know, I think we've won games a few different ways against them, but Coach Mosley has done a fantastic job with them. They never quit. They never say die. They play a full 48 minutes every night. They play as hard as they can.
NFL, Matt LaFleur in meetings this week with his coaching staff, reviewing what went wrong for the team down the stretch. Could Jordan Love improve?
Do I think he can play better? Absolutely. Do I think I can help him out and be better? Absolutely. Do I think we can play better around him? Absolutely. I just think it's too much to put it on one person.
That's the Packers' Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and kind of windy this morning. We'll see more sunshine and the wind will die down this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 20s. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, 35. And then hang on because it's going to get really cold by later this weekend into the first half of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot,
and now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we have lots of things coming up for you on the show today. Marta Hansen is the group lead volunteer in Dane County for Moms Demand Action. Governor Evers yesterday announcing a new office to combat violence. Mm. Gun safety measures.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to Marta about there. She was there as the governor made this announcement yesterday. Next hour, weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist. Every other Thursday, he joins us to talk all things sports. J.R. Radcliffe will be here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we'll wrap up the show today, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Hawaiian style edition. Right now, though, right before we came on the air, breaking news, great loss. Milwaukee Brewers have announced that Bob Uecker, the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers for 54 years, a baseball Hall of Famer and local, statewide, and national icon, Bob Uecker died today at the age of 90 years old. If you would like to share some of your favorite memories about Uke, he's just been such an intrinsic part of this team for so long.
Yeah.
And if you're of a certain age, you'll remember his appearances on the Johnny Carson Show.
Mr. Belvedere.
What a remarkable, remarkable life he had. He is greatly going to be missed.
Yeah.
As this broke right before we were coming on the air, you said, too, it's a shame he never got to see them in the World Series.
Yeah. That was every time that the Brewers would be in the locker room with the goggles on and pouring champagne, he would be there. And as much as I wanted to see them win as a team and win for us, I think it's safe to say if you are even a casual Brewers fan, you wanted to see the Brewers win for Uke.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. And got close a couple times, but he was probably the biggest fan. He loved them so much.
So much.
And he, you know.
And just loved the game.
And the players loved him. He was just, he always was about baseball. He was always, like, he had that coaching sensibility, be on the field with them, talking to them. But, you know, just having good conversations and just like a grandpa.
And he was funny as hell.
Yes.
He really was.
Yes.
Mike Clemens, sports reporter for Civic Media, is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Mike. I wish we had happier things to talk about this morning, but certainly in all of your years covering Wisconsin sports, I'm sure you've had more than one interaction with the one and only Bob Uecker.
Yeah, Jane, Greg, the Brewers putting out a press release in the last half hour that Bob passed away early this morning at his home at the age of 90, as you said. I know that he'd been dealing with some heart troubles and had some surgery that he talked about several years ago. And there's tough things that happened in Bob's life, too. He lost a daughter a couple of years ago to a lung disease. I think it was ALS, and he spoke about that. But in the last few years, he had cut back on his schedule, first not doing games on the road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then just doing all the home games. And then in the last couple of years, he might do one game of a home game series. But the last game he did was that playoff loss that the Brewers had. It was kind of a Cinderella year. Pat Murphy taking over as manager. But Devin Williams came out there and they had a horrible performance as a closer, and they lost to the Mets, I think, 4-2. And the team was down because their season has just come to an end. But he was going around and talking to players and folks in the clubhouse, and some of them were turning away, shaking their heads, maybe having a tear in their eye. And you kind of got the sense, and they kept that within to themselves, that maybe Euchre was saying, says, I don't know if I'll be back next year, but, you know, you're a great kid, and I hope the best for you. But if he was saying goodbye that night.
There's just so much to talk about when you talk about Mr. Baseball and his long career. And I think one of the things that fans loved about him so much, Mike, was his self-deprecating sense of humor, because no one made more fun of his actual career as a baseball player than Bob Euchre, right?
Well, for 60 years, he made fun of his 6-year career in the major league. Right?
Yes.
So he's a kid from Milwaukee who works his way up through the minors, told these stories during those Brewers broadcasts, were just wonderful, about bring a station wagon to drive up to Eau Claire so he could play the minor leagues for a summer. And then he plays for the Braves and for the Cardinals, a World Series team back in the 60s. And when he gets done with that, Bud Selig calls him back and says, you know, why don't you come to Milwaukee? We're bringing the pilots to town, and I'd like you to be part of the broadcast crew. And he's next to Merle Harmon and some other great broadcasters, and soon because of his sense of humor and just his storytelling ability, he became the legendary, I mean, absolutely amazing play-by-play announcer. And even up to that last broadcast last fall, he was still one of the best in the business.
By far.
He's in the top names. Like, all, when you think like the Vin Scullys and all those guys, like that voice, the knowledge, and the passion for the sport was undeniable when you listened to him call a game.
And I think
then he became a speaker on the speaking tour. And one night he's at some banquet, and one of the guys who was the stars there was Al Hurt, a trumpet player that was very popular in the 60s.
Yeah.
Played at the very first Super Bowl. Al said, I'm telling you, you're great. He goes, I've got friends on the Carson show. I'm going to get you on the Tonight Show. And that's how that started with that great run he had. And then that became Mr. Belvedere. And then the incredible job he did in Major League.
Right.
Was filmed in Milwaukee and doing the play-by-play for that just a bit outside.
He used to kill Johnny Carson when he would be on the Tonight Show. Johnny Carson would be dying from Euchre stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's. I mean, you know, he came after the first night he did it, and he was so dry, and he looked like he was so offended because the audience would laugh at him when he told the stories. Like, he said, you know, when I tried to get into Major League Baseball, they said it would be $3,000, and he said, you know, my dad eventually came up with the money. So, you know, but after he left, Carson leaned over to Ed McMahon and said, did he really play baseball? And said, yeah, he really was a baseball player.
Yeah. I mean, the growing up, hearing him as a kid, and then Major League, and Mr. Belvedere, like, those are all like my 80s memories of him. My grandma used to work. She worked at County Stadium from when it was built until the early 90s. And she always had lovely things to say about him, about the players, but she was there in Major League too. So it's like there's all these great memories of him, and I love, you know, he's a part of Milwaukee lore, and he's part of the legend as the legend himself. I mean, he'll never be forgotten. And what's great is that he is just like he'll always have that seat up in the stadium. If you look, like the Euchre seat,
the
nosebleed, where you can always remember him.
Yeah, Greg, Bob Euchre had quite the life. He would get up in the morning. Jane, remember we had him on the morning show we did together, and he phoned in from the boat
yes.
out on Lake Michigan.
Yes, I remember that really well.
He'd be out there at 7 o'clock in the morning. I remember he invited you to come up to the press box. Come on, Ginny, come on. Yeah, sure, come on up and see us. So he was out there in the boat fishing. Then he would get home, do his prep. He would roll into the ballpark about maybe 3 o'clock or so for like a 6, 7 o'clock start.
Wow.
And he would take that Corvette and pull it into the loading dock, which was his private parking spot, you know, and walk in and do the game. And then right after the last pitch and he'd sign off, he went down the elevator, got in the vet, and drove back to the house in Menominee Falls. He spent most of the time, though, living out in Arizona. But and you know what? The only time you really heard Bob Uecker was during the baseball game. He didn't want to wear out his welcome.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted Bob Uecker, you had to listen to a Brewers game.
Yeah.
Well, and he certainly didn't insert himself into other things that he could have just because of the stature that he had. He never ventured into politics. He stuck to baseball. That was his love, and that's what he knew.
Yeah, and before the game, you would go downstairs. And I remember this happening one time. Prince Fielder was, the man, the leader for many years when he was on that team. And we were there before, you get to get into the clubhouse before the game to do like feature interviews. And then after the game, you get 5 minutes to talk about the game just happened because these guys have been there all day and they want to get out. So Uke gets in there and he sits in the office with the equipment manager and they just BS and tell the old stories for like an hour. They did this every day just because he just liked to hang out at the ballpark and hang out with the guys and talk to them. And at one time, the Brewers were in a serious situation, and Prince Fielder is trying to talk to two or three other players about something. And these guys, Uecker's got about 8 or 9 guys in the equipment manager's office about 30 feet away laughing and cackling. And he stands up, looks, and says, "Hey, could you guys tone it down?" And then Uecker realized, oh, man, we're messing with the players. One by one, all those guys filed out, like, okay, we'll shut up now because Prince Fielder has spoken. But that, he had that respect for the players. I saw that personally, when that happened.
If you're just joining us, Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter, is our guest. And we're talking about news that broke just as we were coming on the air. Milwaukee Brewers out with a press release this morning that Bob Uecker has died at the age of 90 after 54 years. On the team, on the airwaves for the Milwaukee Brewers, just such an intrinsic part of Brewers baseball and Wisconsin. And I think, too, Mike, that because of his stature, because of the Tonight Show, because of Major League and all of those things, I think he was beloved by most of the country.
He was. And, I mean, like Mark Twain, he's a humorist, a storyteller, and quick, even up to the last minute. He'd say something, and there's things that he would say to you. He pretty much kept to himself. He came in, did his job, went in the booth, went home. But he would joke. He would start people laughing. He'd ask you questions, and he'd tell funny stories. And that was just natural for him. I tell you, when to find out what Bob Uecker was really like off the air, Google Norm Macdonald on the Letterman Show talking about Bob Uecker.
We are going to go to break. We're going to go to break. Mike, can you stick around for one more segment?
Sure, will do.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We'd love to hear your memories of Bob Uecker. 855-752-4842. Stick around. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zany's next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Breaking news right before we came on the air this morning. Milwaukee Brewers out with the statements. Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90 years old. We would love to hear your favorite memories of Uke and his long, long career with the Milwaukee Brewers. 855-752-4842. And again, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Our guest on the phone, Civic Media sports reporter. He is all over the place. Mike Clemens is here to talk about Mr. Uecker. We have some comments on the live stream, Mike. Rob says, Mr. Uecker is Mr. Baseball. I loved him on Mr. Belvedere. My favorite moment was the final out of the 1982 ALCS versus Angels when the Brewers won the American League pennant in 1982.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I was in the loge shooting camera for TV18. I had just been hired by them that summer. My timing was perfect there, and they were the flagship. And the press box shook. I mean, back and forth. It was when they clinched and beat the Angels in that game. It was an amazing night. Of course, you know, that's what Uecker was there for. And, you know, when you think about this, when Bud Selig and his partners bring the Seattle Pilots to Milwaukee and Bud makes his brilliant decision to hire this talent, this funny guy, as a former athlete to be with the broadcasters and work him in, that, you know, those, things like that, when you bring a new franchise in and you're trying to get people to come back to the ballpark and get back into baseball, and having a guy like Uecker on there for all those initial years, that helped maybe lead to the success of the team, to make it, this is going to a Brewers game is fun. And, you know, and Uecker being so entertaining on the radio, moves like that can make a difference in the marketing of your team, right?
Absolutely. And I think too, Mike, it was so obvious how much he genuinely loved the game and loved the players. You can't fake that.
Because And is it even it showed in that movie Major League that these baseball players, they're a bunch of characters.
Yeah.
They all got different backgrounds. They all got weird habits.
Superstitions.
Whether it's during the game, whether it's weird stuff they do in the clubhouse, the stories that they tell. One minute they, you know, these ball players are really smart and incredibly talented. The next minute they do and say some of the dumbest things, ever. Like him saying, I'm out with this guy and he's a big pitcher and now he's in the Hall of Fame and we took him out to dinner and we went to the famous steakhouse down in Chicago. We were taking on the White Sox and he ordered the Philip Morgan. And the server didn't know what he was talking about. And he had to point at that. No, sir, that was the filet mignon.
That's a very Wisconsin thing.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. Stories like that, that just left you crying,
And I think that's one of the things that made him so lovable was his ability to poke fun at himself and not take himself too seriously. And he was just joyful about the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, baseball can go long. Now they've sped it up. I'll tell you, that's an interesting thing to bring up, too. A couple of years ago, the new commissioner, to speed up games, put the pitch clock in, right?
Yep.
And I got to tell you, that frustrated Bob Uecker. It took away part his time. I mean, it literally took away his time. He would get into these stories, and it would be 18 seconds and then strike two, strike three. And there wouldn't be those lulls in between or timeouts. And he had to shorten his stories. And I could sense it because I listen, even when I'm sitting in the press box, there's a program you listen to. You can hear Bob's call live.
Yeah.
Where, they would get to commercial break and he'd have to hurry up and tell it on the other side. And I knew that was starting to frustrate him. There was one night he was sitting down and saying, "All right, I'm just getting to my seat." He goes, "Is that sponsored now too? Do I have to read something?"
Well, that's one thing I loved about Bob Uecker is he'd be sitting there. So there I was in Los Angeles eating a dinner with it to an outside going down there and get right back. Sometimes sure. Baseball even was like the impediment to his stories, and that was hilarious.
Right. So I know that was kind of frustrating him. I mean, it was great that the games were moving along, but it kind of hurt his act a little bit, during those what used to be 3 and 4 hour games.
Yeah.
Is there anyone now, Mike, in baseball, as far as a baseball announcer is concerned, that you think has the same kind of stature that Bob Uecker had?
Not that I'm aware of, Jane. I mean, in terms of to entertain you like that, and I know that answer right away because I've been looking for it, and
right.
I don't know if it exists. And I don't want to take anything away from Jeff Levering or the rest of those guys. They are fun to be with. They do a great job.
Yes.
But Bob Uecker was one of the funniest Americans ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And why do you think Carson had him on over 100 times? As much as, Rodney Dangerfield or Robin Williams or those guys.
Probably more than Don Rickles.
He was money.
Yeah.
He was money. He was so funny and so entertaining. Vin Scully was, a great wordsmith. Bob Uecker was the comedic storyteller, and I don't know who's doing baseball that's got stories like that ever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there will be many, many accolades about Bob Uecker lost today at the age of 90 over the next coming week and certainly weeks. Mike Clemens, Civic Media sports reporter, thanks so much for carving out some time for us. Mike, you're in Green Bay, right?
I'm on my way to Green Bay. Brian Gutekunst is going to do his end-of-season press conference here coming up at noon, so we'll have coverage on that this afternoon on our Civic Media stations.
Listen for Mike's sports reports. You can always catch them across our network. Thanks again, Mike. Really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Greg.
Be safe on the road.
Take care.
News coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk about Governor Evers creating the Office of Violence Prevention. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. State Republicans are circulating a bill that would require approval from every local municipality before developers could seek Public Service Commission approval for wind or solar projects. Under the bill, municipalities would need to consider a resolution on a potential project within 90 days after being asked for approval by the developer. If the resolution isn't voted on within that time frame, the Public Service Commission could consider it approved. Supporters of the bill say it will empower local officials and give them a voice in the projects. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking anglers to help curb the spread of invasive species while they're out on the water this winter. According to a press release, aquatic invasive species and fish diseases can be spread when anglers empty the water from their bait buckets or fish containers in different bodies of water, even in harsh winter conditions. Officials are reminding anglers to drain all the water from their buckets at the site where they filled them and remove things like mud or plants from their gear before leaving. The Town of LaPointe Harbor Commission and the Madeline Island Ferry have received state funding for much-needed repairs. On Wednesday, Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Transportation announced $10 million in grant funding for five projects through the Harbor Assistance Program. The Harbor Commission and Ferry will receive about $800,000 of that funding to construct pile clusters, modify the ferry landing, and dredge the harbors used by the ferry. The program was established in 1979. A Cloquet man is facing up to 7 years in prison in connection to a downtown Duluth stabbing last week. According to court documents, 24-year-old Lewis Barney has been charged with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. Duluth law enforcement authorities say the stabbing incident occurred on January 9th at an apartment building on East 3rd Street. When they arrived at the scene, they allegedly found Barney pinned down under the victim, and witnesses reported he had been acting erratically and breaking things before the stabbing. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some fun indoor entertainment, given the frigid temperatures on the way, here are some movies that might interest you. There continues to be no shortage of horror films, and if that is your genre of choice, check out a new take on the age-old classic Wolfman, starring Julia Garner of Ozark fame. Also opening in wide release is the comedy One of Them Days, starring Kiki Palmer and musical artist SZA, which tells the story of two roommates scrambling to pull rent money together. At the time of this reading, the film is pulling a 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and SZA's acting chops have impressed critics. Coleman Domingo's role continues. The film Sing Sing will be re-released this weekend. And if you happen to be incarcerated, you're in luck as well. The film will be playing in correctional facilities all across America, and that makes sense since Sing Sing tells the story of teaching rehabilitation through the arts and has almost a perfect audience and critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and mild today, with high temperatures reaching the low 30s and flirting with the freezing mark. Battling breezy winds out of the northwest today, gusting up to 20 miles per hour, we could see a few more flurries flying around late tonight. And they'll likely return again tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbus Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. In case you missed it, breaking news right as we were coming on the air. Milwaukee Brewers out with a statement this morning that Bob Uecker has passed at the age of 90. Mike Clemens will have more updates in the sports reports throughout the course of the day on here on Civic Media, along with Stuart J. Waddles. So stick around for that. But he shall certainly be missed. Bob Uecker gone at the age of 90. Excited to have our next guest join us. She is the Dane County Local Group Lead Volunteer for Moms Demand Action. Marta Hansen is joining us. Good morning, Marta. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
We can, absolutely. Tell us, first of all, Marta, before we start talking about Governor Evers yesterday announcing this new Office of Violence Prevention, what is your involvement and how did you get involved with Moms Demand? And what, for people who don't know, what is Moms Demand?
Yeah, absolutely. I joined Moms Demand Action like as a light volunteer, probably around 2017.
Oh.
I've been involved for a long time. The organization has been around for over 10, since Sandy Hook, essentially. Started as a small grassroots movement. It continues to be a grassroots movement, but we have, you know, I believe over 10 million volunteers nationwide now. And essentially what we are is we're a grassroots movement. We're really fighting for public safety measures to reduce gun violence, to make our communities safer. And we work with legislators and community partners and business leaders to pass legislation with stronger gun laws and to work closely to close loopholes to make our existing laws better. And, you know, we build partnerships. We work with, you know, local community leaders. We work within our community and we work with legislators. And our goal is just gun violence reduction and to keep our families and our loved ones and friends and communities safer through violence prevention, essentially.
Just to clarify, you are not coming for people's guns. We're not
going to be not
breaking down doors and taking your guns. No one wants to take your guns.
You are exactly correct. We are not, there's this misconception that we are coming for your guns. We are absolutely not. We want to promote a culture of responsible gun ownership. And we want to pass common sense laws that, you know, the last time, you know, there was a percentage taken as, you know, over 80% of nationwide and a well over a majority of folks in Wisconsin support this common sense gun legislation, which just promotes responsible gun ownership, like safe storage and, you know, keeping guns out of the hands of people that are a danger to themselves and others. We're not coming for people who are responsible gun owners. We're not coming for their guns. We want to keep our families safe. And we're just asking for common sense things. We're also a nonpartisan organization. I'm not a gun owner, but we have many gun owners in the organization. We have veterans, we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have men, we have non-parents. It's not just moms. Mm. Our only common goal is to make our community safer. And that's really it.
Well, and I feel it's important to push back because I'm sorry, but the NRA has been fear-mongering for the last 40 years. They're coming for your guns. If you allow them to do anything, any kind of gun safety measures, the next step is punching in your doors and going through your home and taking your guns. That's a lie. And they've been lying to you for decades. That's not what this is about.
It is. And we are the counterpoint to the NRA. We are that group that is pushing against that and pushing against that that lie that we're coming for them and that any sort of common sense legislation is going to take their guns away. It's just not true. And you're exactly right. It's a tactic to get people afraid to do anything when there are so many common sense things that would make such a significant difference. We know gun violence is preventable and we just need to do those things. And that those are things that are not going to affect your Second Amendment rights. It's no different than regulations with cars. You still get to drive your car, but there are rules and regulations around it because it's a big responsibility.
Currently, there's a video on our Instagram page that has got a lot of attention, hundreds of comments a day, and we're talking about this topic, gun safety, gun responsible gun ownership, and that's something we did discuss, is like the fact that, you know, this there we're talking about reducing violence, and that violence comes in many forms, whether it's school shootings, suicide, all
and accidental shootings.
Accidental shootings.
Yes, it's all of those things.
And yep. And in talking about like safe gun storage, I think that's also something that we don't really delve into. And when we try to talk about that stuff, people online are like, don't take my guns. I'm like, I don't have the power. And and I just want to see people be responsible and talk about red flag laws. Yes. As you said, Marta, something that we
The vast majority of us agree with.
And Jane talks about the NRA as well, but I also want to put the onus on the politicians influenced by the NRA who are also lying and fear-mongering. And that's a shame as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you're exactly right. It's we tend to pay close attention to these things when we have a tragedy like we had at Abundant Life.
Yep.
Very recently, people, it becomes a big thing again, but violence is happening every single day. And actually, I even have a statistic for you for Wisconsin that in Wisconsin, the last statistic, I think it was up, the last was 2023, that nearly 60% of all suicide deaths involve firearms. And that's actually, it's, I believe Wisconsin is a little bit higher than the national average in that regard, because we do have hunting, you know, we have a hunting culture and all of those things. And something as simple as having the firearms locked,
yes,
in a safe space and the ammo separate, and not having that, especially, in the, to be near a minor. Somebody who, you know, they haven't fully developed their critical thinking skills, their impulse control. When you don't have that firearm accessible in that moment, in that instant moment, the vast majority of people do not try that again. But unfortunately, a gun, that choice is permanent. And those are things that we don't talk about enough. We don't talk enough about, you know, firearm accessibility with, domestic abuse, and
which is
just
huge.
So many factors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah. And it's really simple. It's keeping being responsible with such a enormous responsibility.
There, we've had a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter, John Dietrich, on to talk about an ongoing report he's been doing about guns. And one of the things he talked about, and this has to do also with another huge component with guns and gun safety, is mental health, but how guns affect the rural area. When people talk about guns, they like to assign it to the inner city and the violence. But there are so many guns in this country, and there are a lot of them in the rural areas, and a lot. And when it comes to mental health, there's not a lot being done to address those issues. And with such quick access, we're kind of forgetting those areas of at least the state. I'll just stick to Wisconsin for right now. It's probably happening all over the country, but addressing those issues up in the non-urban areas of the state.
Yeah. Well, and that's something I mean, to kind of segue into the executive order for the Office of Violence Prevention that I was at the press conference for Governor Evers, is I hope people will look into this and understand that it's a very holistic approach, having this office, and it's a statewide approach, that it's not just about there's a reason he's calling it the Office of Violence Prevention, because it's all aspects of violence, including gun violence. And in addition, it's being able to have this hub with funding, staffing, and grants to provide initiatives and work with community partners that are already doing this work. It's about safe storage. It's about passing legislation. It's also about working with community partners, law enforcement, mental health agencies. It's a holistic approach. So this does involve mental health care. It's going to involve every aspect of this very complex health crisis that they're having nationwide, and Wisconsin is not excluded from that. And this office is really, it's a really big deal. I got very emotional at the press conference because this is something we've been working toward for a really long time. And it's not, I hope people understand that it will encompass reaching out and working with people to touch on every aspect of this crisis, which is legislation, but it's also mental health care. It's also reaching out to people who are in crisis.
And I just, I think that component is so important, Marta, because tragically, after every mass shooting, after every school shooting, we hear, we can't talk about this now, we can't politicize it now, but it's because it's about mental health. And yet, yet when it comes to funding mental health programs, there's no follow-up on that, and they don't fund them. So at least that is a part of this.
Yes, it's not, this isn't just, there's a lot of lip service after a tragedy. There's a lot of thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
And this is something so big that I'm just grateful that Governor Evers has taken this stand to actually make a step toward making change and working with the entire statewide, rural areas, city areas, all of this to find ways to combat this problem and every aspect of it. And not just say thoughts and prayers and then let the issue go back down until another tragedy happens again, you know?
If you're just joining us, Marta Hansen is our guest. She is the Dane County Local Group Lead Volunteer for Moms Demand Action. And she was there in Madison yesterday when Governor Evers unveiled the Office of Violence Prevention in response to the shooting at Abundant Life in Madison. And by the way, I saw an update this morning that two of the victims who were still in critical condition in the hospital have now been upgraded to good, which is a very good thing. But this has taken a long time. And that's another thing that I think we forget. And when I was at a different radio station and I did a series about this, just because you survive a shooting does not mean that your life is not forever changed.
It's forever. We don't take enough stock of how this generation of, I have two teenagers, they call it the active shooter generation. And it's obviously, it affects every child. And even just active shooter Joes alone, let alone actually experiencing this in real life, it is trauma for the rest of your life that you're dealing with. The Moms Demand Action, we actually do a lot to support survivors of gun violence. And that doesn't mean if you were physically, it does include that, but it's often the people that are left behind and the people that actually went through that experience and saw it with their own eyes and have to deal with that. We talk about mental health. That's a trauma that they will have to live with. And it's just really unfair to these young this generation, that this is just what they're growing up in this stress and anxiety and trauma on a daily basis. And it's preventable, and we can change this. It doesn't have to be this way.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand how books about gay couples are traumatizing, but having our children practice being hunted in their own schools by someone with a weapon that can kill them, that's perfectly fine. They're going to get over that, no problem.
Right. Drag queens are everywhere. Yeah.
Right. But my kids told me that, they had an active shooter drill and they had to practice putting a table in front of the door.
Yeah.
And that's just not okay.
We're the only country where this happens. We're going to continue our conversation with Marta Hansen. We have some comments coming in on the live stream. You can always contact us. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Together we will stand, every boy, girl, woman, and a man.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, we have an update on the knuckle-dragging mouth breather Eagles fan who verbally assaulted the female Packers fan at the Eagles-Packers game on Sunday. So we have a little update about him. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we are talking with Marta Hansen. She is the, I have to find your full title here, Marta. She is the Dane County Local Group Lead Volunteer for Moms Demand Action. And you were there in Madison yesterday when Governor Evers announced the Office of Violence Prevention. I wanted to share just a couple of comments coming in from the text line. Cassandra in New London says, Robin Voss needs to be shown the research on prevention in gun violence and the fact that this works better than more cops and more resource officers in schools. And Ann from Chippewa Falls says, this is Republicans' goal, to spread the lie that we want to take all their guns away. Do they think that Democrats don't have guns or have guns for safety? Once again, maybe question your thoughts about gun ownership. Long enough, it becomes the truth. And you mentioned before we went to break, Marta, that within Moms Demand Action, it's not just moms. There are men, there are gun owners, there are female gun owners who are part of Moms Demand. Yes. What do you hear from them?
We all have this common goal. And at the end of the day, it's that gun violence is preventable. And we are unique in this country with this issue, and we can really, it's nonpartisan, and it isn't political. It shouldn't be political.
It shouldn't be.
And that's how we've all come together. The group started as a group of moms, which is why the name is what it is, but we are mothers and others. And it really is a group where really just safety in our families and community and preventing gun violence is our goal. So you can do that. You can be Republican. You can be a Democrat. You can be a man. You can be a woman. You can be non-binary. You can be a gun owner. I'm not a gun owner, and I work with gun owners. We have veterans. We just have this goal of common sense, gun legislation, and working within our communities to create safer spaces, free from gun violence. And that includes mental health efforts. It includes everything. And it's hard to combat that misinformation that's been, put out there for so long that we're coming for your guns, because it's just simply not true. We know this is preventable. We just have to break through that barrier of people thinking it's all or nothing. It's just not true.
Right. Do the gun owners in your group have any insight on how to message to people who are still, they're never taking my guns away, they're coming for all my guns? I mean,
yeah.
Do they have any insight on how to get through to those folks?
It's hard. I will say that generally speaking, we try to come at it from seeing things like, for an example, if you are trying to talk to somebody who is very, puts up a barrier about any sort of gun legislation or common sense gun laws, we use gun violence prevention as terminology. Gun control is a very loaded term.
Yes.
And it's very difficult. It often shuts the conversation down almost immediately. When you try to control, there's definitely that connotation that there's that power element there. You're not going to come for our guns. So we talk about prevention. We talk about gun violence prevention so a lot of times it's coming at it from a more, I don't want to say gentler approach, but what words you use do matter.
Absolutely.
So you can meet people where they're at.
It's about,
and then begin to have conversations.
It's about gun safety.
It is.
It's not about control. It's about gun safety.
It's about safety. Yeah.
And of course, Robin Voss instantaneously, came out against this Office of Violence Prevention. And it's all, we need more cops. And if there were more cops, then this wouldn't happen. Well, what I take away from that is police are there in the aftermath of a crime. So
yes.
You're not doing anything about the front end of preventing violence. You just want to make sure that after they kill someone with a gun, then something happens to them. That is not the answer.
We want to prevent that. And our schools shouldn't be places where our children are scared either. They shouldn't have to have all these metal detectors and bulletproof backpacks. Like, schools should not be a war zone. They should be a safe space for children to learn. And that's trauma to be around police officers and metal detectors. So we're looking at prevention, not care after the fact. We want these things not to happen in the first place.
Amen.
And the chief of police was at the press conference and he spoke. So obviously law enforcement is part of this equation and they want to be part of the solution as well.
I was going to say in our show notes, I'll be posting a picture, a story from the AP, and I see a certain Marta Hansen in the picture during the signing.
I'm there.
And there's also a young lady in a wheelchair, and I assume she's a victim of gun violence. And to me, all of the discussion needs to me is to point her and say, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again. Just work with us.
That's actually Megan. It's not due to that, but she is a very avid, really hardworking member of Students Demand Action, which is also an arm of Every Town for Gun Safety. We're all under that umbrella. And she, if you speak to her, she can tell you what it's like to be a young person going to school in this kind of an environment.
We got to wrap it up, Marta. We have news coming up next. Marta Hansen is the Dane County Local Group Lead Volunteer for Moms Demand Action. Would love to have you back on the show.
Anytime.
Thank you so very much. And as I said, news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the new people. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is holding his final news conference at the State Department. He's been closely involved in Gaza ceasefire talks, which appear to have hit a snag. ABC's Jordana Miller is in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu accusing Hamas of reneging on parts of the deal after it was announced Wednesday by the U.S. and others. Hamas denying that, but Israeli negotiators still in Doha trying to resolve the dispute. And until that happens, Netanyahu says he won't put the ceasefire deal to a government vote for approval.
More hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees, all of whom appear to be headed toward confirmation. The American Cancer Society says cancer deaths have gone down in the United States, but women under the age of 65 are now being diagnosed more than men in the same age group. Longtime Milwaukee Brewers Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Uecker has died. He was 90. A statement from the Brewers says, "We are heartbroken." This is ABC News.